Hello and welcome to the Meeting Your Soul podcast. I am overjoyed, literally stoked beyond belief to have my guest today, who is someone that I've known. You know, that's crazy. We were just chatting right before this about how she had opened up her yoga studio in 2009, and I started going to hot yoga in 2009 because I just so happened to live down the street. And so that is when I remember meeting you and seeing you from afar as the studio owner. This is Leah Zakria, and she is one of the amazing studio owners in Seattle, and also is an author, an entrepreneur, and has really just I think transformed so many worlds just by being the authentic self that she is. And she is also an author of the book Seen, which is one of my favorite books. And I read it and I was like, I had so much respect for you. And I was like, and then I had no idea. And I can't wait to talk a little bit about that during our conversation today. But thank you, Leah, so much for joining me.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
I know, me too. Well, let's go ahead and begin. So I kind of alluded to the fact that you had a book and that when I read through it, and I think that originally why it came to mind was because I think from where you were, pre-yoga studio and where you are today is literally been a full 180. So would you like to share just to give listeners a little bit more of an idea of what that meant for you and kind of what occurred during that time in your life?
Yeah, so I was one of the many people that really conformed to the conditioning of what the American dream which was go to school, get a good job, get the house, the car, the kid, the dog, the name on the door, that whole thing, and then you're going to be happy. And
Gonna work
so
out this perfect for you.
I did all that, and I went to school at University of Washington. I got my accounting degree. I went and became a CPA right out of college, and went on that road of like being in corporate America. And I worked really hard and worked a lot and got the name on the door, the six-figure income, the house, car, the kid, the dog, the whole bit. And I got to that place and I was like, this can't be it. Like, this can't be it. Like, this is not fulfilling. Like, I don't feel like I'm in my purpose in the world. I don't feel like I felt like if, we as human beings, I think we are conditioned to get to that like destination and then you'll be happy type of thing. And I'm like, I just can't, I could, I was like, this can't be it. So that's when I really started to shift and change and really look at myself, because I was always seeking externally, right? Trying to get the thing, trying to have
Kind of
everything
fill
look
that
good on
void.
the outside. And then it was like, no, Leah, it's like, it's time to look within. It's time to look at yourself. And that's when I started examining, my whole life, like my relationship with my family, how I grew up, my marriage, like my purpose in the world, and started doing therapy, started doing movement. And that's when I found yoga. And yoga, I started practicing yoga. And within, 2 years, it was like, I'll never forget the day that I was sitting on the bench outside when my aunt, her and I would do Bikram hot yoga together. That's how I started with Bikram hot yoga.
I actually
And
started with a speaker as well.
did you? Yeah. I mean, that was kind of what was popular, most popular in 2000,
The
in
early
the
2000s,
early 2000s. Yeah, so wild. But I was sitting with her and was just like, yoga is changing me. Like, I'm waking up. Like, I really felt like I was waking up, and I knew I had to make a change in my life. And from there, that's when I really started digging deep. And the opportunity to open a yoga studio just kind of fell in my lap. I wasn't seeking to do that. That's the crazy thing about all three of my yoga studios. Not one of them did I go look for. They all found me, which is very key, because that shows like it's like the universe was always guiding my path. Like, I wasn't forcing or attaching or just trying to make something happen. Like, it each one literally found me, and always very unexpectedly. Like, I was never really fully ready, and I was never really had a plan to do it, but it was like presented to me, and I was like, okay,
Now I
here
know.
we go. You know, like I was sitting in my office next to a good friend of mine, and he's this like Leah, and him and I would always just kind of dream, because we were both miserable in corporate America. So we'd go to lunch and just talk about like other things that we could do. So we were just dreaming up things. And one day in Queen Anne, it's like, hey, let's go up to Queen Anne. There's a Jamba Juice that's closing. And I just thought we were gonna go get coffee. Like, it was like we were dreaming, but I was like, okay, you know. And then we went up to Queen Anne, and I went into the walked into the studio, the old Jamba Juice, and I was like, this is it. Like, this is my way to change my life. And I just did it. Like, it was so kind of random, but I did it. And that is what really changed the course of my whole life, is that I just didn't even question it. I was just like, and it just made me like, I finally found my way out of like the conforming, soul sucking thing. Is like, how can I actually just change my life? How can I be of purpose in the world? And I think I was always seeking anyway, there internally, because I knew that there was something more in me. When I was 16 years old, I went to a party with my mom, and there was this woman there, and she grabbed my hand, and she said, can I read your palm? And I was like, I was 16 years old. I was not into any of the yoga woo-woo stuff at all, energy, anything. Like, I didn't know anything. And she read my palm. She read my palm, and I looked up, and she had just like big tears rolling down her face. And I was scared. Like, what did she see? And she just looked me in the eye and said, you're gonna help a lot of people in this world. And at 16, that stuck with me. It just stuck with me. And so all those times of just like sitting at my desk doing taxes and like working a bazillion hours and like doing this kind of literally
Hamster wheel of
the
life.
hamster wheel for sure. I'm just like, this is not what she meant. Like, she didn't
This could
mean,
not
this
be
is not
that.
how I'm helping people. It's not taxes sitting at my desk, you know? So it's so cool, because just looking at me now and where I've come, I just see there was just so many glimpses of me that were always there. And I really want people to know that in themselves. If like, there always are glimpses of the true you, but we box them away. We put them away because of the conditioning or what we think that we have to do. But now, you know, every time that I continued my journey, I just like, oh, there was that little Leah, you know, or there was that teenager Leah, or there was that young adult Leah, like, and then it just got like smashed down again, you know, like, nope, go on this other path, stay with this. This is what you have to do. This
Follow
is
what you
what
should
you should do.
do.
Follow what you should do. Yep. And then it just got, but then ever since I made the leap to be in the purpose of my life, all of that unfolding has happened, and I just get to see the true me all the time, which is really, really cool. Like, just from the little girl to who I am now. So yeah, it's really awesome.
It's incredible to hear because I think there were so many points, like you said, when you're younger that you got exposed to it. There was a little inkling that there was something more that was going to occur. But I think that sounds like it gave you confirmation and at least an idea that there may be a shift at some point in your life. And they say, you know, when you're ready to the person that you need to be, the door will appear. And I think that you probably had to go through a certain amount of struggle and all of these other parts of your life to be able to fully walk through the door, and the person that you are today. And I'm curious though, because when that shift occurred, when you walked into the Jamba Juice, how did you know? Was there like just like they say like claircognizant, where you like just have a feeling that washes over you, or but like what was that confirmation for you?
It's so interesting. I can just feel the feeling of like when I walked into that room. And I like to call it spontaneous awareness. I didn't know that term back in the day, but now that's what it is. It's like this internal knowing, like, this is it. Like, this is it. And you know, I didn't know how. You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't know how I was gonna do it. I didn't know what that all meant, but I just knew, this is it. Like,
The time.
this is it. This is what I felt it in my every fiber of my being. So It honestly, that's all I can say is that it just was a true conscious knowing. Like, you don't know why, but you know. And that is when I really started to listen to myself,
That's what I was
because
going to ask you.
yeah, it's like I could have easily been like, Leah, this is ridiculous. Like, you're a
Which
CPA,
a lot of people
you have
do.
a master's in taxation. I have a master's in tax, y'all. Like, what the heck? And I've been a
I'm just
CPA.
going to leave all of this, everything I've created, everything I've built,
I
right?
mean, how many times do people do that, right? Like,
Yeah.
all of your investment of time and money and identity and attachment, all that stuff comes up. All of it comes up. And you're like, why would I do that? Like, the out picture. But then if you really just listen and you really be brave and courageous to actually not go back to that type of thinking, which is very fear-based. It's very fear-based, right? Because we're afraid of losing. We're afraid of failure, of like, because that's what essentially why we talk ourselves out of things. Like, I can't
But
do
that
that.
doesn't work
I'll
out.
fail. I don't know how. Like, this is ridiculous. You're a CPA, you know
Old
business, but you
people
don't know
thinker, like
yoga.
all, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's constantly that self,
Limiting, right?
Yeah, it's very limiting. It's very fearful. It's very attaching to an outcome. It's very, it's just, yeah, it's just a lot of fear-based stuff. So that's when I was like already in that precipice, because I had already started like doing therapy, really examining my life. I was really into yoga. I felt how it was changing me. And I was just like, I knew I needed to change. Like, I wanted to change. It was like, I'm ready. Like, I'm so ready to be who I'm supposed to be. So it was just like, I was just so grateful that day. And then I don't think it was that first day we went there, but I think we came back like the very next day to look at it. And they had paper up on the windows, right? So I didn't even know, like, I didn't really even know what it looked like. And then I was like, I wonder what's behind this paper. And then I pulled it down, and in the back was this like sweet little Zen garden. It had all these bamboo trees and this whole thing,
Which
which
is one
makes
of
hot
my
yoga
favorite
what makes
things.
hot yoga, right? Like, that's the thing that makes that studio so sweet. And I remember, because I went there up there with my friend Ryan, he's who I ended up opening the studio with, and he's very business. Like, he was very much doing
Kind of
this for business,
investment.
because yoga was taking off, right? But I started crying, and he was just like, "What's going on, girl?" And I'm like, "What?
What just happened?
that's when my like I was just like, I saw the vision. I saw what it meant, and I was a yogi, right? So that's one of the biggest things about me that is very much a dichotomy, is what I am a business person and I'm a yogi. So typically you don't get that a lot. Anomaly, that's the word. The anomaly that I am is that I have both those things. So
Yeah, which I think is an
that
interesting
what has
blend.
set me up for so much success over the last years of doing this, is that I understand the yoga perspective. I am a yoga teacher. I wasn't when I opened my first studio, though. I was just a practitioner, and I thought it was going to be my side hustle. Because I hadn't fully let go of like my identity, right? Because it's really scary, right? Like, just like we were talking about, like, I'm gonna let all of this go, my whole career, like my six-figure income, like, I didn't know how it was gonna, all this, statusy kind of stuff too, like identity stuff. But yeah, but
How was that? Because that's a grieving period to a certain extent, and I've experienced that firsthand. And there's a moment where you really have to let go of your old life, like this that will never be the case again, and then be open to the fact that you don't really know what your new life will be, and you're still creating it, which is the excitement of it, but also slightly terrifying. So I'm just curious
100%.
what.
In fact, it took me 2 years. So when I opened my first yoga studio in 2009, I stayed a CPA for 2 years.
You did
So that,
not.
Yeah, so I did both. So I was burning the candle at both ends for almost a year. I got 3 hours of sleep a night. Yeah, it was wild.
Gosh.
And but it was so cool in the way that I was just so alive. You know, I was like, I was passionate. I didn't care. People were like, "Lee, you're gonna burn out." I'm like, "No, I finally felt like I was
Oh,
in my purpose in the world." But yet I hadn't let go of my other identity, right? So I was burning the candle at both ends. I was working my CPA job. I would go up at lunch in my business suit and I'd freaking take yoga and I'd go back and know whatever even knew. And then I had, because I was an accountant, I had dual screens. And
yeah.
so I would have one screen of like my tax work, and then the other screen was like mind body pulled up. So I was like constantly like working both. But essentially I did that for 2 years. And ultimately what happened was because I got into business with two guys, one of which was Ryan and his best friend, and they wanted out almost immediately. Yeah, because they're not yogis. It's really tough. Like business is tough. You know, we thought build it and they will come. Oh, that's not true. That's just not a true statement for
Where's
business.
enough people coming? Where's enough people
It
coming?
takes time. And so, and with also having three owners, like yoga studios are not like massive wealth generators, right? So you have three, you know, partners. You're not going to make that much money off of it. But essentially, it's just really hard work. And they were also back of the house doing crunching the numbers, which is really super scary most of the time. And I was in front of,
Really want to see all of the numbers every
Exactly.
single
I was in the front of the house witnessing like the community being built, like seeing myself like engage with people and doing all these things and like my purpose. So anyway, they wanted out with almost like within 6 months, they wanted out. So I went through that whole process of like becoming a yoga teacher, buying these guys out, and still being in corporate America. So like I'm still haven't let go of my identity from for as being a CPA, working my ass off like bazillion hours, like I said, candle at both ends. And you know, then I start buying out my partners and becoming a yoga teacher. Well, then it was so interesting because I was more and more and more like focused on the yoga business because I knew it only took me a few months of like, this is not going to be my side hustle. This is my life. Like, how do I get out? But how do I let go of my identity? Well, one day, so like it started getting really weird in corporate.
You described
Like
that
people were
better.
kind of starting to avoid me a little bit. I'm like, I really thought that they thought that I was going to make them start owing.
Really?
Like my energy started shifting. Like I was no longer like you could feel it in my energy, like my light and the who I was and how I started to speak about like the things that I was also my boss could tell that I was like completely distracted, you know. So I was doing the bare minimum to get by. So
Which
one day.
exceeding all expectations for so many years that it's like, I'm sorry that I like found something else that really lives me up or lightens me up. So anyway,
Yeah.
keep going.
Yeah. So one day he calls me into his office and he fired me. Yeah,
Wow.
that is how I had to let go. I had no idea. I had no idea. And I walked in and he just said, "It's time for you to go. We've turned off all your computers. Please, we're going to escort you out. You can come back and get your stuff later." Yeah, it was wild because him and I were good friends. And yeah, I mean, it was very, very corporate move, like very HR, like, you
Which is
know.
like kind of how they have to do it and how they would probably handle most people, but you're like, have some compassion to a certain.
Like you're my friend.
You're like,
Anyway,
feel like you just met me. Like, you know what I mean?
exactly. And like I actually left my public accounting job to go work for him.
Oh
He
my.
like he kind of, you know, he lured me over,
Yeah.
which I later actually wrote him a letter because he actually really helped me because leaving my CPA job in public accounting where I was on the track to be a partner, I
Yeah.
left that and then worked for him. So that was like part of my change. And actually I wrote him a letter of thank you for firing me because I don't know how much longer I would have held on because of the attachment of the identity, right? It's like it's so hard to leave it. So I mean, I remember like leaving and just being like shell shocked and like for a few, it didn't take me too long, but it took me a few weeks. I'm a very fast processor, and I was in my deep work, so I could really kind of
We'll flush through it, really feel into
process
it, and
through.
then be like, what is this really meant to guide me to do? Because I think you're wise enough, even at that point, to know that if this is occurring, there's a reason why it's occurring. So, like, let me understand what the deeper meaning is behind it.
Exactly. So I was also going through a divorce at that time. Financially, that was really super scary for me. I'm like, okay, well, here we go. Like, I'm going all in. I'm going all in with, but because I had just bought out my partners. So I was like, I was the sole owner now. I was a yoga teacher. So I'm like, okay, I'm going all in. I have no idea how this is going to pan out. But it was like immediate. It was immediate. Like, I was probably making more money as I was as a sole owner of that studio, because that studio was took off. Like, it took off like very quickly. And so it wasn't the financial struggle. It was more just letting go. And I remember sitting there going, like, almost feeling like I was, isn't this funny, dumbing myself down to be a yoga teacher. I remember having that thought and thinking, how ridiculous, Leah, is that? But that's conditioning, right? Like, because it was so embedded in me that, like, to be in corporate
This was
America,
less
be the
prestigious.
strong woman with the corporate background and the name on the door, like, to going to a yoga studio owner that, whatever. But it's weird. It's so super weird. But now just chuckle at it, because I have so much more, like, bigness and, around that, and so much more opportunity. And so, and being my own boss and and then the entrepreneurship around it, it's like wild. But
Well, and like the impact that you're making, and like you said, I think that initial conversation, with the palm reader, that you were meant to change like lots of lives. And I think that there was no other way for that to occur and for you to be able to have the magnitude of what you've done now, it would have never occurred. But I think it is, there's a conditioning that's like, I'm gonna become a yoga teacher, and then I'm going to just open up a studio and do this and see where it takes me. How did the people around you, how did the people in your life respond to that? I'm just curious. Because I was like,
Everybody literally thought I was going through a midlife crisis at the age of 32. Like, they literally thought that I was like going crazy. Because again, like, the out picture looks perfect, right? Like, she has like
You can't
this
tell these ugly
perfect
faces.
life. Like, but that's the thing that's so crazy about life, is like, we see this with media and social media and stuff like that, that you can put an out picture out there that's not reality. What's going on the inside? How are you really feeling in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul, right? And so, what happens when you make a huge change like that? People innately have to look at themselves. Because I was, and so and that's scary. So it's like, well, why? Because not only was I leaving my marriage, I was leaving toxic relationships within my family. I started removing myself from friendships that I no longer, not even that they that were, it's not that they were even not toxic, but I was outgrowing them, right? Like, I literally just needed to do something different, because I was no longer in that frame of mind of where they were anymore. So they then looked at themselves and, like, well, what's wrong with me then? Like, why is she? And it really had nothing to do, like,
Well, and it
nothing.
wasn't like there was nothing
Not
like
personal. It's
you're
not personal. Like, this is my journey. This was my transformation. And so instead of, it was interesting, because a lot of people really judged me and also didn't understand, misunderstood me. But ultimately, the ones that were meant to be in my life recircled around. They watched my journey and they were like super inspired by me, so which is cool. So, and I think that's also a really important message for people that are on a transformation journey. Like, there's going to be a lot of people, and probably the closest people to you and the people that you least expect, to turn on you or judge you. But the ones that are meant to be in your life will cycle back. they'll see it, because it's just a mirror. Not it's just a mirror gets held up, and it's and it, to, for everybody, it shakes up everybody's life. Like the changes that I made in my life had such a massive impact on my life, but like a lot of other people's lives too, you know, it's like a lot of other people's lives. So, but I think it's important to do that. Like I talk about that a lot, is just like, there's gotta be somebody that does this brave work, you know, like what I did was really brave, like really brave to leave my whole life, to leave everything that I had invested in, to leave relationships that were no longer serving me. Like I did a really, really big transformation. And there's gotta be people that are willing to do that, to show up in the world like that, to inspire people to do the same, right?
If there's other people that want to, but they haven't seen anyone else do it, especially someone that they know. So then someone that you know make this huge shift within their life. But I think, like you said, it can trigger people in a negative and positive way. You know, it can inspire, but then also it can make someone kind of reevaluate where they are. And if they're not ready for it, that can be really overwhelming on their end too, which is sad, because then it ends up getting projected onto you, which isn't fair. Cause you're like, I'm literally doing this for myself, not for
totally.
like cause waves in anyone else's life, but it can
yeah.
be that way. How like, was there people that were around you during that time that like were always really supportive, that kind of always had your back, and that you've like maybe hopefully like galvanized relationships with over time?
You know, that's an interesting question, because if I really look at that time of my life, I really rebuilt everything. Like I didn't even have I mean, I had my business partners, you know, for the first little bit that were kind of carrying me, but I remember feeling very, very alone at times, and like really alone. And, but you know, I felt like that was also preparing me because leadership is lonely. You know, it is like when you get really high up in leadership, and there's like, you're the leader and there's really nobody above you, it can be very lonely. So I felt like it was kind of priming me for that, because I have experienced that a lot in my life, in my leadership, of just having and really having to work hard to have relationships in my life that are very like level, you know, at, you know, there's not, it's not somebody that's working for me. It's not, you know, it's like, because really my whole life after I started opening yoga studios was cultivating community, and my relationships and friendships were all integrated around my yoga businesses. Right. So like some of my greatest friends are, you know, came from, you know,
teaching
them being teachers for me. Right. Which is such an amazing thing. It's very interesting though at times too. It's like okay, so I really had to,
like the boss hat versus the friend hat, and like, and that's a delicate, I think, a tightrope to walk, to say the
it's
least.
Very, very interesting. And so I've had to over my life really manifest relationships that aren't that, you know, that are separate, like, and that's, it's very few and far between, right? Because I have integrated my whole life as like my personal life and my work life really aren't separate. And some people are like, ooh, they don't like that, but that I do, like, because it's my purpose. Like, so
I think that's
the amount of work that I have to do, if I didn't integrate it into my whole, embody it in my whole life, it's a lot. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to separate my personal life and work. I just want it to be an embodiment of all of it. And that's how I have sustained for 15 years doing this, you know, 'cause it's a lot of work.
Easy to do, especially for a studio owner that went through COVID and everything that occurred. Like, you did really then come back out on top. Like, you made it through. And that was like, I think, a challenging. I know so many studios that closed down during that time. And I was always so in awe of like your resiliency. And I think that that's just something that's been a resounding theme within your life, is just that ability to overcome and in adversity to not back down. And I think that that's something that I'm sure you know about yourself, but I think is definitely a trait that's always been an inspiration to me too, to be able to stand more in my power. But I do think you have this beautiful balance of feminine and masculine energy. Like you definitely have, like you said, you have that entrepreneur, you have that business mindset, but you're very in your feminine too. And it's definitely, I think something that just makes me laugh and say you stay creative and you stay playful and just very like easeful with it. So it's been beautiful to watch.
Well, I really appreciate it. That's a huge compliment to me because that was something that I really worked on. Because when I came out of corporate America, I think that was one of the reasons, and I didn't even really understand at the time. I was very over masculine in my energy, right? All I would do, and when I was in corporate America, I was sitting in round tables with all men, right? All the time. Like, because I was a high executive, I was a tax director. Like, so everyone around me that was high level executives mostly were men. So, and just with, so in that masculine energy, I also like, I hadn't resolved some of my own traumas. And so that turned into more masculine energy, which was control, right? So I was very much very controlled. I mean, ultimately, you know, that's a huge factor of like why my marriage failed, you know, in my part of it was like I was controlling everything that I actually demasculinized my ex-husband, right? Like I took care of everything. And so and that was because of my own root issues, like my own abandonment issues, my own stuff that I hadn't really worked with. So over this course of my life and journey of yoga, I realized I had to get myself back in balance. And so that is really when I started seeking divine feminine. And so that has been a really a journey that I have really, really paid attention to and dug deep into the last 5 years of my life. So it was I, because right after I got divorced, I got into another relationship pretty quickly.
Oh, I didn't
So
know.
I really hadn't mer I dealt with some issues, you know. There's a lot of unraveling of life, you know. There's a lot of unpacking that we got to do. So I got right back into another relationship that didn't let me like fully go into that yet. And so it wasn't until that relationship ended where I really got to where I was finally single. 'Cause like I was, you know, I married my high school sweetheart. So I was in a relationship from the time I was 16 years old until I was, you know, 40.
No way. Leah, that's
Yes.
amazing. I don't
Yes.
know if I realized that because there was
Yes.
a break. I didn't know that there wasn't a break between the two.
No, there wasn't a break. Like I literally met my next after the after I got divorced, I met my next boyfriend 3 months later.
It was 3 months.
I actually could have been, I think it maybe it might have even been 2 months. It was super quick. And then I was with him for 8, 9 years.
Almost a
So
decade.
I really didn't start this journey of like you know, so once that relationship ended, that's when I was finally single. So once I was finally single, living on my own, not in a relationship, I really dug deep into the feminine divine stuff. And that's where I really found balance there. And it's been the most magnificent thing to harmonize both those masculine and feminine energies and to not be and really embrace that to so much so that I'm inspired to help other women refine that because that's also a conditioning that women are having in this world right now of like, you don't need a man, you don't need a kid, you don't need you can be a high power, you know, like you can just essentially you should be a man.
Identify and pretty much act like a man, but then there is this well, and there's so much of a, and I remember I was just talking about some of those someone about this with Barbie. It's like there's this expectation that women can do it all. Like you have to then have this like high powered job as well as being a mom and as well as like taking care of the family, as well as like I think what you're, you know, speaking to, and I think I identify as that with that as well, is like I'm a very like I'm in my feminine, but I'm a very like alpha female. And I think within yoga, I'm a lot softer. And I think that I found yoga because that was my identification with the more feminine nature within myself and how I moved and how I incorporated it. And what it, I think, like helped save me in a way. But there is this, I think within life, it's like, be the powerful woman, be that, you know, what's it, I'm thinking of independent woman from Destiny's Child from back in the day. It's like, you know, like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's like, do all the things, but it's like, how did, and, but then once you were single, what was there a defining moment to where you're like, I need to look more into this? Or did you finally know it's like, this is, there's, I'm off kilter here. Like, how can I bring myself into more of a balanced and harmonious state? And how did you actually achieve that? Because I think that's a difficult thing for a lot of people.
So I spent my first 10 years, you know, after I, you know, left corporate America and after my divorce and everything, I spent that whole time, like really in my root chakra that, around my mother issues. Like, so my book Scene is a lot around my mother issues. And I really unpacked that. I really went for it because that was where my significant deep abandonment issues were, that were causing my over masculine energy of attachment and control and all this stuff, right?
You feel like
abandonment issues.
It was modeled to you in that way, or was it modeled to you in that way with your mom, or would you just say it was it your way to take the control back when you felt like you were so out?
So my mother, so I, my mom wasn't around, so I had a significant abandonment issues. So that was my whole thing of why I was in control all the time. If I controlled everything, if I handled everything, then no one could leave me.
Yeah.
Right. So that's my big thing. Don't leave me. Don't, you know, I got to do it all because I have to have it all under control. And that's very obviously fear-based. That's also very masculine energy. Like, I'm going to do it. It's going to be my way.
Yeah.
So what really made me dig into it more with the feminine stuff is, after that second relationship failed after 10 years, and I started to become single, I started seeing a pattern of the men that I was choosing in my life. So guess what? I had to go into daddy issues. So I spent the last 5 years of really digging into my daddy issues because my dad was an alcoholic. You know, I didn't have a big relationship with him in my own life, but he modeled, you know, what he modeled to me was, a very broken type man. You know what I mean? So I didn't really believe in the strong protective man. Like, he didn't protect me. My dad didn't protect me. So I kept choosing men that were not doing that same thing. And so then I really had to kind of unpack all that and embrace myself as the feminine, powerful woman that I am, because I truly believe that we can be, that women are the most powerful people in the world. We're the creators of life, but we also need protection. So when I understood the male role, I'm like, I need to find a man that is going to protect me. Not try to clip my wings, not try to keep me from creating, but actually elevate me in my creations, in my bigness, but protect me. He can be my soft place to land, that I don't have to hold it all together, that I have somebody that is going to hold me in that way. And that took a lot of trial and error. I did a lot of dating over the last 5 years, and there was some that helped, you know, I got a very clear picture. And honestly, there was a point for me that I was like, I don't think I'll ever be married again. I don't know if there's one person for everyone. And that's a really tall order, you know, that kind of really open-minded, that open relationship kind of mentality. And then I listened to a podcast. Podcasts are so amazing, aren't they? I listened to this podcast with this man, and he said, the highest level of consciousness is monogamy in a committed relationship. And I was like, damn. Damn.
But I got past this one.
I'm like, but that's my journey, is like, I want to be the highest level of consciousness that I can be. I want to be in my highest, greatest self. So I kept my heart open. I kept my heart open. I'm like, okay, well, if that is the highest level, I'm going to keep my heart open. And I'm not going to close my mind to say like, there's not a man for me. Literally 3 months later, Tagus, who's my now husband, is I found him in my life, and he is the epitome of the masculine, divine masculine that holds my divine feminine, understands his role, and it's a massive one. It's like his role is so massive, and it's so elevating to me. Oh, it makes me just want to cry. That I hope that women can find this. Like, I hope. I want to be an inspiration. I'm so happy that I found it, because I'm glad that I'm going to be able to teach that to women, that don't lose hope. Don't lose hope in the man, you know, don't lose hope that they're that in the divine masculine. It we're out of balance right now. So we got to find that balance of the merging of masculine and feminine again. Because I can tell you what, like, I am in the highest purpose that I've ever been in my life. I'm the biggest I've ever been. I'm doing the most I've ever done. And I also need support in that. And it's so amazing to have his support. And the biggest factor is like, he is not afraid of me.
No,
you know,
that's
he's not,
the answer.
he's not, he's not intimidated. He has his own self-worth. And that's where we really got to elevate men, to have, we got to stop demasculinizing men and holding them as the protectors that they are.
Well, and I feel it swings so far one way or the other. You know, you have these hyper masculine men that almost, then it's like we're trying to put one or the other down. It's like you can either be hyper masculine and the woman has to be extremely passive, or then you have this demasculated man with this overbearing woman. And it's like, how do you find that balance where you guys can support and love each other, but truly be the yin and the yang, like to have both energies and to be balanced within those energies within yourself as well?
And the formula to that is do your work, do your self work, because ultimately that's how Tagus and I found each other. We were both very free. Neither one of us were like, we both had the same mindset of like, we're probably not going to get married again. Like, we're just very strong in our own individuality, like not seeking to find somebody to fulfill or complete me, you know, like, but we both had done a lot of our work around unpacking our family of origin stuff. And ultimately that is why we are who we are, because we are two individuals being together, right, in our own individuality, supporting each other, elevating each other, and really assuming those roles. So that's the key. And it took me this long. So that's why I'm like, so interesting to me that, again, that we're conditioned to get married at like 22 to 25 years old, like, you know, have the baby by the time you better have two kids before you're 30, you know, like,
I'm that like, doesn't add a throw a whole nother wrench into the plan. It's like, then you lose your half of your identity to try to like raise and like, then like build a human. You literally create a human and then are raising one to live in this world.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, nature is kind of weird and a little bit backwards. Like, but I do think that there is a lot of around conditioning and just the way that the world has evolved. Like, there was a time and a place maybe that you should have babies when you were super young, like when people were in communities, when there was elders around to help.
It's more of the pyramid of like, you had grandparents and aunts and uncles and other people that were there to help.
Yes, to help raise the, you know, and stay in that integrity. But like, that is so few and far between now. So it's just like, oh my God, goodness, you know? So it's like, I just really feel like people get into relationships way too early, because they haven't done their own personal, they don't have their own personal identity yet.
No.
And they look to find somebody else to, you know, to complete that or fulfill that. And then it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So that, I mean, I believe everything that I've been through into the place that I've been now, like, whether it's been through my personal relationships, whether it's been through my businesses, is all this progression of a stepping stone of like really doing my work and really standing in my own power, my own bravery, leaning into so many vulnerable positions, conversations, sensations, feelings that you don't want to feel, riding out those fears, right? Is ultimately why I've been able to succeed in a relationship. Like I really believe, like I've succeeded in a personal relationship, and I have been able to sustain 3 yoga studios through a pandemic, right? And I don't believe, like, if the pandemic would have happened in 2009, I don't think it would have been, you know what I mean? It's all a process of like, what are you ready for? Right. So there was so much that had happened in studio 1 and 2 that I had to go through, and like, and you know, in the midst of personal relationship and business, to prepare me for what is now. And that's life. So I feel like, again, another thing that we get conditioned to is we want that instant gratification. We want things to be successful right away, you know, and we're not willing to ride out the uncertainties. We're so freaking attached to the outcome that we don't let ourselves put ourselves out there and be present, or willingness to fail over and over again. That was like my biggest thing, is like, I'm just going to keep going until somebody tells me stop or I fail. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to sit in the what ifs. If I did that, I mean, I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be here. Like, I just kept going. I kept going. And in business and personal relationship, it's like, I've had horribly failed, you know, relationships with 2 long-term relationships. I could have easily just like given up on that, right? But I'm just like, no, I'm gonna open my heart again. I'm willing to fail one more time, you know, just to keep growing. Same thing with my businesses. It's like, I had so much resistance of the way that I was running business through the pandemic, the choices that I made. I'm just like, I don't care. Like, I'm leading from my own intuition, my own heart, my own purpose. I am not going to let fear lead my life. I'm done with that. Like, that's all I've been doing my whole life. I honestly would rather die. I would rather die than go back into living a life of fear and conditions of conformity of like, what's not true for me. Like, I did too much work, too much work to go back now. So I'm just like, I'm not doing that. I'm so proud of myself that I did, because there's not a lot of things that scare me now. I mean, I was pretty fearless before, but like, you walk through these things that I've walked through in my life, and I'm like, there's not a lot that scares me. I mean, like.
Well, and isn't that so, and you were talking about this earlier too, like that idea of freedom. And I think freedom, I think of Nina Simone, and she's like, it's the lack of fear.
Yeah.
You know, be able to be in every moment and not to be afraid of what could come next. But then also there's a trust that goes along with that too. And I think you've honed in on your intuition so acutely that for you, it's like, I know what I need to do. And if I'm getting truly guided in this direction, I know that it's going to land me exactly where I need to be, even if it's not necessarily apparent or obvious right away.
Yeah. I truly believe that we're all massively intuitive beings. But the reason why people are like, I don't know, Leah, I don't feel very intuitive. I'm like, for me, that's just because there's distractions of fear, right? Distractions of fear are what keep you from listening to your intuition, because fear is a really loud beast, right? It's going to want to derail you. It's going to want to take you into rationalizations and attachments and all this stuff. But if you can lose those distractions of fear, then your inner wisdom, your highest self, it's wild to me. Like, that's one of the things I really want people to know, is like, when I was a CPA, I was not like who I am today. I was not always a massively intuitive being. I wasn't a massively powerful manifester, right? Like I wasn't super brave. Like I actually wasn't those things. I unlocked all of that because I did the work of all of that unpacking that starts from your roots, starts from your family of origin, how you were raised, where you grew up, the things that happened to you in your life, like really unraveling all that stuff to get to lose all that, all those weeds. It's like, just think of a, you know, the garden, you know, a garden of full of weeds that you couldn't see the fruit, you know, you couldn't see the nourishment in the flowers. Like you have, but then you pull out all the weeds and you have these big, beautiful, like nourishing, you know, foods and vegetables and plants and flowers, right? You gotta move the weeds out. To actually see the reality, see the abundance, like see all that's really there, right? Which is like love, right? And like that's love. I mean, lose all those things and you start to trust yourself in that. Fear starts to take the back seat and you just like, you know, no, I'm not gonna lead that way. So, I mean, that's my hope for the rest of my life, is to continue to help people feel that freedom in themselves by leaning into their truth, you know, leaning into all that's within them so that they can feel their authentic self. And you'll know that, you'll know that when you're in your authentic self, it's when you're not afraid to be who you are, when you're not afraid to put yourself out there and your creations and like willingness to fail, you know, to do all of that.
It's that,
yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work. And it's not easy. It's super vulnerable, you know? And like, man, if you would have told me 15 years ago where I would be today, I would not, you know, it would have been a hard thing to really like believe, you know, but you know, I just kept going. I kept leading with my heart and kept doing the hard work. And I just want people to feel the way that I feel. I want people to feel and have, you know, that internal. It's like, I don't do anything that I do because I want money or like houses or things, you know. Everything that I do is because I want more nourishment from heart. I want purpose. I want love. I want, you know, people to feel free. It's such an intrinsic thing. It's not anything external. So.
Yeah. But then I think you're teaching others on how to achieve that for themselves with the work that you're doing now, and just seeing the ripple effect around you has just been awe-inspiring, and you continue to do it. But it is truly coming from that place of love. And I think that you exude that in everything that you do. I just like love in that moment. And like you said, it's the authenticity, but it's unfiltered. And I think getting to that unfiltered state is where you're removing the programming, all the beliefs that you need to be anything other than who you are in order to be enough. And I think that is the deciding moment where you stop seeking that external validation and recognize that you're already there, and you just need to keep going and listen to yourself. And like, literally, you will land and arrive exactly where you're meant to be if you trust that. But it's hard to do. It is like, it's a difficult journey. Was there things that you felt like that kept you on that path? Like, I know you've talked about doing the work, but were there other like rituals? Or I know that obviously you always practice yoga. Was meditation a part of that? Would you like, is there anything for people that are starting this journey or interested in discovering more about themselves, how to initiate that process?
Yeah. I mean, obviously yoga was the catalyst to all of this. So that has always been my partner, you know, through the journey is like moving the energy and also breathing, right? Breathing is like, that's what yoga is. It's like learning how to breathe, and breathing brings you back to the moment, you know, and it releases the fears. So, but in particular during the pandemic, that's when meditation truly, truly took hold of my heart. I always meditated in small ways, but like I got introduced to Dr. Joe Dispenza. Are you familiar? Yeah. And I was meditating and I did one of his programs, online programs, during the pandemic that truly, truly changed my life. And I was able to, again, it was another stepping stone to where I am now. I have a personal, I want to call her a coach, but that's not really what she is. It's like she's the person that sits with me and helps me access my interdimensional self. She calls it her like her my trans her me
Trans.
her transpersonal inter
Oh.
transpersonal mentor coach type of person.
I like that.
Anyway, but like I'm that is it keeps evolving, but like really meditation helped me hone in on Joe Dispenza is very much about like going into the quantum field, right? So there was a lot of like stripping down into nothing, which was so hugely profound to me because I was carrying such a big burden of everything that I was trying to hold together that I was able to meditate and actually let go of identity and let go. It was really a death of expectation and self through the pandemic. And then really kind of going into this, he calls it the black, where you're literally becoming nothing and then attracting what you want. And so I would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day for 6 months, and I'd meditate for an hour and a half. And yeah, it was huge. And of course, we could do that during the pandemic. I mean, I can do that now. I mean, like 4 o'clock in the morning is not my time of day, but
You're not a morning person. That's
I
what
am not. I am not.
I
And so that wasn't sustainable for me, but it was during that time because I was doing whatever it took to, and it was working for me. It was working for me. And so I mean, Dr. Joe Dispenza's guided meditations are like my default. That's if, you know, if I want to do that, listen to a guided meditation, I'll still do that today. So yeah, but I like I said, I continue to evolve on my journey now. I'm working with this coach, mentor, a woman who is also helping me expand in my operating system, she calls it. So I'm continually trying to upgrade and create more spacious mind and you know, really have this huge plan still. I'm not done yet. So
feel like there's so much more to be completed. What else do you see on the horizon for you, if you don't mind sharing?
yeah. So the next step is I created this class called Unleashed. You haven't been yet, have you?
I have been. Yeah, I
Oh,
went.
you
Yeah,
did come.
yes.
Yes.
You know, I was like, I was like, I love every second, but I also love to dance, and that's just like that perfect blend of everything together with the DJ
Yeah.
taking us.
Yes. Yes. I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad you experienced that. But so I do that with Tagus. He DJs it and my husband Tagus and we have just seen the profound effects of it has on people. So we're actually going to take that on tour. We're going to take it across the country. We're actually leading, it's going to be in our first festival this summer in California, Disclosure Fest. So we want to, it's a very much like a festival like type of thing. So I've been manifesting that. I can't wait to see like hundreds, if not thousands of people doing this at the same time.
I feel
So that's actually, but it's like this Unleashed tour is kind of triple fold, is because I want to have 15 more studios across the country.
Oh,
And I
wow.
want a boutique franchise because I'm not going to own all 15 of those.
Yeah.
So I have three already. I might own one more on my own, but four is probably where I'll max out on my own
Yeah.
ownership. But I want 15 more. So we want to go into these markets when we, you know, so kind of
That's
triple fold to like kind of
sure.
look at the markets of where I would really want other studios, do an Unleash there. And then also just as we go into different markets, it will shine the light back on the studios in Venice and Seattle, of like, hey, I took this Unleash workshop, you know, and there's studios, you know, owners in studio, the owners of the studio are in Seattle and Venice. So,
Which would be so
yeah.
cool. And also, as you take the tour, and like, and if you were to open up different studios, and then, but you're going to have that similar aesthetic across the board for all of them.
Yeah.
And then it would be like a community, and just expanding the community that you've already created.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer in what I've created, and I don't see a lot of the way that I do things. So I'm like, I'm really,
True.
because like yoga has gotten somewhat corporate, right? And like a lot of set sequencing, and like this is the right way and the only way. And as you know, like Shefa means abundance, right? Shefa means you are enough as you are, be who you are, and that's what I want to keep sending that message. So like if you come to my yoga studios, you know that like every teacher is different. They get to bring their own gifts. They get to teach how they want to teach. And that's what I want to continue. You know, I want to provide platforms, like, right, like the studio itself has a strong foundation that's well run, but the creativity comes from
Teachers
the
there.
community of teachers and the community of people that walk through the doors. And so I just really feel like, again, that bleeds through to my mission of freedom, right? Freedom, like continue to be who you are. You are enough who you are. You're accepted who you are. You can find what you need. You don't have to like measure up to do this one certain kind of yoga, and you only have to do this one to belong. You know, like that's not what I want. So I want to have all these studios around the country so that there is a community place where people feel like they belong no matter what. They don't have to, you know, they can find what they need in yoga. 'Cause I just believe all yoga is good yoga. There's just not one right way, you know.
No. Well,
So
and ultimately, yoga is really, as we know, is the yoking of self. So it's like whatever helps you find that connection within your mind and heart is what yoga is. And I think that there is, within, especially within Western society, there's this expectation that it needs to be held in a certain way, but it's so much more than that. And I think it, especially as a, one of the teachers at one of, you know, at two of the studios, it's like that freedom, students rave about it. You know, I always hear them. They're like, it's so nice to be like, depending, I just subbed a class yesterday, and they're like, I love that you don't like, you know, like depending on what you need, you go to certain teachers for that particular need. Or if you like
exactly.
want to have something, or like there's different parts of like different phases in your life where you want to push yourself, or maybe you want it to be more nourishing or nourishing. Like there's always different moments for people. So I always hear really positive things about that, and I appreciate that. And as a practitioner at both studios too, I think that's what has always drawn me back to it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I want. I want to keep putting that out there. And I think especially a lot of parts of the country, have, you know, there's a lot of places that don't have much yoga, and if they do, it is very like franchise, you know, like corporate franchise of like
Well, and even just like,
this is the sequence. You know,
yeah.
you this is what you follow, and like and it's it lacks spirituality to a certain extent. So you know, like a lot of those places don't like allow oming or chanting, or you know,
For
have
teachers to bring in
they
their own.
just there's just a lot of conditions. Like you can do this, you can't do that, you can do this, you can't do that. And I'm just like, no, freedom, 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 freedom. So yeah, so that's kind of what's on the horizon. So I have a big vision, you know, for what I want to continue to do. Yeah, it's
Well,
kind
if
of wild.
your past is any indication of what's to come, I think it's going to be bright. So all come into fruition the way it should.
Yeah.
And I thank you so much for joining me today and just having this conversation with me. And it's, I feel every time we talk about this, I just learn something new about you and kind of what you've overcome and how you've gotten there. So I really appreciate you just being so willing to share and just be yourself as you always are, but
Yes.
it always brightens my day too.
Well,
Okay, how
love
can
having
people
the
stay?
conversation.
Yeah, me too. How can people stay in touch if they wanted to reach out to you or connect with you in any way?
Yeah, so I have two studios in Seattle, Hot Yoga Queen Anne and Sheffa Yoga Roosevelt. So you can find them on Instagram at Hot Yoga or at Sheffa Yoga Roosevelt. I have one studio in Venice, California. So at Sheffa Yoga Venice on Instagram. All there. If you want, we have a landing webpage, sheffayoga.com has all three websites on it, and it'll direct you to the right website. And my personal handle is Leah Zacharia. If you want to follow me, I also have a website, leahzacharia.com, that has all this information and has other podcasts and stuff like that that I've done as well, such other media stuff if you want to learn more about me. And if you really want to know a lot about me, you can read my book, Seen.
Highly suggested.
Yeah. I plan to, that's also in the horizon. I'm going to write a second book, which is going to be,
Have to.
oh
Literally
yeah.
have
It's like,
to.
oh yeah. There's so much juice in this second one. Like this first one was like my first, my first 40 years of life. But then like the last, 5, 7 years have just been like crazy. So much. It's like, I'm so glad I wrote that first book because there's like, now I almost feel like, whatever on that, but it's important because it is the foundation. It's the foundation. It's how I got to where I am, and it is the story of the first two studios. It doesn't have the story of Venice, which is such a epic story of manifestation and perseverance and overcoming and community. And it's just, I every day I'm in awe of just like what has happened and how it's all come to be. It's very, it's a great feeling.
As it should be. Well, and your ability to just overcome everything that like stood in your way and trust yourself without a doubt. Like that's, I think, what it comes down to. That's the baseline of it, is that you believed in yourself. And I think the belief in yourself is what carried you through, or and like in so many other things, in the community around you and affirmations within the universe and your own practices that were the, cause and the grounding for you. But it's just been really, it's been incredible to watch, even just within the last couple of years, and we didn't even get into that. But then when you said the second book, I was like, this is it, it's the perfect next book, because
Oh
then,
yeah.
oh, you thought I was done, you thought that was going to be the only thing like, just you wait, just you wait.
Oh yeah. Yeah, second one's gonna be. Woo.
A
It's
doozy.
cuz if you read my first book, you know how raw I am. I'm just very
Oh.
authentic. It's very unfiltered. So the second one is like I'm like I'm gonna be it's it's the same. I mean, it is what I am, but it's like, four 5 years of like yeah, being single and, all the kind of what we kind of touched on, and then all the business going through the pandemic, all the things. There's just so much that has happened in the last 5, 7 years. It's wild.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, and did you have any reservations about being as transparent as you were with the first book, and like even now, like planning to write the second? Like, do you think you'll have that same kind of like open book policy with everything?
I think about that all the time because like it was interesting. I didn't have a problem. My editors did. My editors would be like, yeah, it's funny. They were like, are you sure you want to say that? I mean, how like diplomatic do you want to be? I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, they're like, do you want to like, filter some stuff? I was like, this book is called Scene. It's called Scene. Like
Like, people, I am putting myself out there.
open book. But yeah, I mean, it's super vulnerable. And it is. It's like I remember I had to really do some deep work when it was going to come out of just like, again, that fear of failure and judgment and all that stuff. But that's just who I'm but again, I've already done it once, and all it did was create more compassion and connection. Just like Brené Brown says, like vulnerability is a catalyst to connection and compassion. And that's exactly what happened. So I know that that will be the same, so it I will be that same very transparent person. Yeah, but it will definitely be a next level vulnerability for sure.
Just the way, because I read the press, I'm like, I can, well, I will be reading it, and I can't wait to, they'll have to keep me the loop. I was like, I can only imagine what's going to come next. I am curious. But,
Yes.
and it's such, I think that's the beauty of sharing your story, though, is that it does, like you said, there's the vulnerability aspect, but it connects you with people, because we're all going through it. And especially during the pandemic, like we were all experiencing that as a collective and in our own ways. But I think there was such a major, but it was such a moment of transformation for so many people. But to document it, to be able to share it, and to be able to give the behind the scenes of what was going on, I think will be really, really impactful. So I'm excited to see what comes of that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. I know I could chat. We could chat for longer, but we
I
will wrap
know, I know,
up. I was like chatting. I was like, okay. I already said this was supposed to be done. But thank you for being here. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for being a part of this community and also just being such a influential part of my own journey and kind of how I've arrived where I am, and just inspiring me to do what I feel within my heart to be right. And I think that when you see the success stories, even though I know that there was a lot of tumultuous times before that, knowing where you land on the other side of it, I think gives a lot of people, and I think your intention is to provide this opportunity of hope to know that it won't always be the case, and that if you keep trusting yourself, you'll end up exactly where you're meant to be. So thank you for that too.
Well said. Well said. I love it.
I know. Well, listen in for follow Liam. It's always I love following her on Instagram and all the studios, and see what comes with this Unleashed tour. I'm excited to see what comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk to you all later. Thank you so very much.